Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate it. Joining us on the line now, always glad to get this next gentleman on, represents the 3rd Congressional District of Alabama, Congressman Mike Rogers. Congressman, how are you?
Good, great, thanks.
Thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. Last week, the Texas special election there, Democrat barely even showing up in the polls, but just a really strong showing for all the Republican candidates on the ballot. A lot of people think this is telling us what to expect later on in 2022 for Republicans. Did you read the outcome that way?
Yeah, that was not a big surprise with what all's going on in Washington right now. There's been some pretty aggressive left-wing initiatives coming out of the Democrat majorities in the House and Senate. And so we kind of felt the wind at our back. You know, I've been there 19 years now, and we've seen the majority change 4 times over that period of time. And every time you can see it coming, and that's kind of the way it feels right now. Anytime you get a new president, they make big changes in public policy direction, and that usually upsets people. But this new administration is really, really overreaching, and I think it's got people stirred up. So I think you're going to see a whole lot more of what happened in Texas happening across the country next November.
Well, I tell you, it seems like there's more to come here, though, that we're seeing the trend kind of early, but these policy changes from this last administration to now haven't really taken effect. I think, you know, when gas prices start going up, we take this different approach to foreign policy, that's going to pit a lot of the public against what the far left progressive agenda that's being thrust in this by this administration.
Yeah. Well, we all saw the price changes in gasoline pretty dramatic just in the time that he's been in office. I mean, you can't come in and just with executive orders stop the construction of a pipeline, stop the drilling on federal lands, and stop offshore drilling, and expect it not to have market implications right away. And those are just going to become exacerbated as we move into the summer and driving season. So it's going to be more painful. And I tell you, you know, one of the most difficult times in my tenure in Congress was back when gas prices went up the last time, almost $4 a gallon. I mean, it was horrible to come back to Alabama, and people were just in pain because you go from paying $2 a gallon to $4 a gallon, and all of a sudden it's cost you $80 to fill up your car, and that cuts into what you can spend at the grocery store for your kids' shoes and clothes. I mean, it was painful. So if we start seeing gas prices get really, really high, you're going to see a lot of people looking to blame somebody, and they're going to take it out on the majority in the next election.
And I think another point on that front, The jobs numbers that came out on Friday very underwhelming, did not meet expectations at all. And it a lot of people think it's a lot of this federal stimulus being put into the economy that's taking away that incentive to work, and it's having a profound impact all further down in the economy.
Yeah, I hear it. I mean, we're hearing it all over the country. I hear it around my district constantly. But my colleagues are telling me the same stuff in their states. People can't get anybody to come to work anymore. I mean, if you could make $700-$800 a week by staying home, then it's pretty hard to go back to a job that pays you $600 a week. And in some cases, I was listening to a story on Fox Business last week where a guy from New York was saying that, you know, he is paying people $900 a week, but they can make $800 by staying at home. He said they're willing to eat the $100 difference and not have to go to work. And he said, I can't get people to come to work. So we're all seeing it. And it's got to give sooner or later. First of all, we can't keep borrowing money to give people money to stay home. So I hear, you know, my local auto repair guy, I was in there a couple of weeks ago getting some work done on my truck. And he was telling me that he had gone through 13 new employees just since the first of the year. They come in, they work a couple of days, and they quit because, you know, it's hot, cold, whatever, can be dirty work, and they're making more money staying at home than they're making working at the garage. So There's got to be some relief somehow or another, and I think the average voter knows that the government can't keep subsidizing people not to work.
Well, let's turn to some other things going on in the news. One of the big things that's happened here in Alabama, census results are indicating all seven seats are going to stay intact in Alabama. There's some other things going on around the country that people have some questions about, but it turned out, and I know you've been following this closely, that we are going to keep those seven seats, but we weren't even second. I think it came down to New York State and Minnesota. Alabama looks in pretty good shape as we sit here today.
Yeah, thank goodness. A lot of people don't realize how much federal money comes with a congressional seat. So it's a big deal for our state to not lose that seat and lose the access to that federal funding. But there is some mischief going on. I mean, when you look at some of the states, Florida expected to pick up more than they picked up. And when you look at all the people moving there, you don't understand how they didn't. New York didn't lose as much as people thought they were. And, you know, we see all these people exiting New York for obvious reasons. We expected this, there were those that expected Arizona to pick up more people leaving California for Western states. And a lot of people go to Arizona and they didn't pick up. So, I mean, there's some lawsuits going on to try to explain why the trends didn't manifest themselves in new seats or losses of seats. Alabama was not in either any of those calculuses. You know, we knew we had grown. We just didn't know if we'd grown enough, but fortunately we did, and that's going to be good for the state. And because we didn't have tremendous growth, I don't think you'll see dramatic changes to our congressional district structure. Each one of us represent a little over 700,000 people now, and I think it's going to go to about 715,000 in the new census. So I don't think you're going to see dramatic changes to the current districts, and that's going to be good for people who don't have to get used to having a new member of Congress in the next 10 years.
Joined by Congressman Mike Rogers here on the program. I want to transition to your role as a ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee and what's going on there. A lot going on today. I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Israel situation with Jerusalem, but I don't know as far as what the U.S. policy is, but it does seem like the there has been a stark change from what the Trump administration had put forth versus what the Biden administration has put forth. And what do you make of that? I think what the United States has to say plays a very big role in what goes on over there.
It does, but folks over there know in that neighborhood that when it comes down to it, we're going to protect our most valued friend in democracy in that region and keep them safe. So I think that I'm less worried about what's going on there from a standpoint of our military than I am what's going on the eastern border of Ukraine, where Russia has mounted about 80,000 troops. Active duty troops. It looks like to me they're planning on an invasion, just like they did with Obama when they went in and took Crimea, and Obama didn't do anything except run his mouth. I think they see another administration that will take the same approach, so they want to get more of Ukraine, if not all of it, back into their sphere. So I'm very worried about that, but I'm just as worried about Taiwan and China. You know, China's really positioned themselves to go after bringing Taiwan back under their control, and that could easily suck us into a serious situation. So those are two that I'm more concerned about than anything in the Middle East right now. Obviously, Iran is always somebody that we have to pay attention to, and their mischief over there. But the two daunting ones to me are Taiwan and Ukraine, and those could turn into big problems for this country real fast.
Well, and I guess for as far as that realm goes with mainland China, I mean it's spilled over more than just Taiwan, but that seems to be the place that if there's something's going to flare up, you think that's where it might start.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to this new administration that was very passive under Obama, and took a lot of nonsense because they just didn't want to fool with it. For ideological reasons. Now, when Trump was president, you know, a lot of folks just saw him as so unpredictable and very muscular in his rhetoric. that they didn't want to test him because they didn't know what he'd do. And so they behaved. So I fear that we're going to see some folks testing this new administration to see if they're all talk and no do. And if that turns out to be the case, it could get really bad for our country, because we've got serious allies in both those regions I just talked about that we cannot leave hanging. You know, South Korea, we've got huge numbers of Americans over there. Plus, they're a strong ally of ours and a strong trading partner. And then, Japan is the same thing. We have huge numbers of American troops over there, American citizens, and they're a huge trading partner. We can't just leave them hanging. And other friends and allies in the South China Sea area. So that's an area that we could get sucked into pretty fast. And I pay a lot of attention to those things, and I worry about it, particularly when we recently had our posture hearings. And we've had the commander of the Indo-Pacific Command tell us that it's a powder keg over there. And when somebody with four stars on their shoulders tells you that, you listen.
Congressman, something else going on at the Pentagon, and maybe this is maybe more of a media phenomenon, I don't know, but the wokeification of our government and the bureaucracy, the administer a lot of those processes, it seems the Pentagon has got a little bit of that. And you know, the renewed a new focus on domestic terrorism and what they define as a threat to the homeland security, all of that, Congressman, is that as big of a concern to you as it's maybe made out to be by some of the media?
Yeah, if it turns out to manifest itself in distracting behavior away from the command, then it will be. I've been saying for the last 3 months that when it comes to us marking up National Defense Authorization Act this year, the area which usually is the most contentious is strategic forces, which is, you know, nuclear weapons, missile defense, and national security space. But usually it's the nuclear weapons or missile defense that stirs everybody up. This year it's going to be in military personnel because of what you just talked about. The Democrat majority is all caught up in this wokeism, and they're liable to stir up a lot of contentious policy proposals that could turn this markup into a partisan endeavor. And that worries me, because, I mean, you're seeing some ridiculous stuff come out. I don't know how many of your listeners saw it yesterday, but on Mother's Day, a lot of the left criticized Nancy Pelosi and Biden for tweeting out Mother's Day well wishes for not using birthing people instead of mother, referring to the gender-specific mother. Now, how stupid is that? I mean, these people have really gotten outside the realm of reasonableness, and I don't think they know what any bounds are. It's going to get worse. So they start, you know, trying that crap in the military, and it starts distracting us from doing our job to protect this country. Then they can turn into a real policy debate that could get contentious.
And finally, Congressman, I get you to weigh in on this leadership debate, Liz Cheney. Do you have any thoughts about where that is headed? It looks like there's a vote coming up soon, and you know, these things happen from time to time, it seems.
Yeah, now this one, everybody sees it coming. I mean, Liz is a close friend of mine, but she's made a decision that she is going to use her position as conference chairman, not to just promote the conference position and point out the shortcomings of the Democrat majority in the Biden administration, but rather continue to relitigate what happened on January 6th, which is not the job of conference chairman. It's to be the voice of our conference in talking about why we ought to be in the majority and why this majority is wrong-headed. The administration is not what the country is not doing what the country needs. So she's made this conscious choice. You know, we had a vote on this back in, I think it was in February, and she survived. And everybody told her then, we don't care how you voted on the impeachment or any of that. That's all behind us. You need to be talking about the conference goals and agenda, and that's what that position's all about. She's chosen not to do that. So I fully expect tomorrow or later this afternoon in Washington that she's going to be recalled, and that Lee Stefanik will be put in that position, because we've got to be fighting today's fight and tomorrow's fight and not the fight of yesterday, and that she just won't turn loose of it. And that's disappointing, because she's my buddy, and I hate that she's taken this course of action. But she's a very smart lady, and this is a conscious decision on her part.
Congressman, we're up against a break. We got to leave it there, but I do appreciate you making time for us, and let's talk again real soon.
Look forward to it, buddy. Take care.
Thank you. That was Congressman Mike Rogers here on the program. We got to get another break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone. Tommy's love was Becky.